of a like a cold thing. I'm not contagious now, so don't worry about that. But it's just a kid. I'm gonna be clearing my throat, so forgive me. I'm gonna go to Isaiah 6. It's kind of funny. Just a little bit ago, we were downstairs for our prayer meeting, and I came across this this chapter a little while back, and it just kind of hit me because it stood out to me as kind of like a motivator. It's easy to kind of sit down and just kind of watch how everything's going and let everybody else kind of do the work. But occasionally, the Lord's going to ask you to get up and do something. So I'm going to go through this chapter. I'm going to start at 1. I'll go to 8. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Amen. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be up here this morning, or this evening. Well, I know you know that my nerves are a little riled. It's the first time I've really had the opportunity to do this, but I want to do it for you, Lord. So
Amen.
I ask that you guide me through this, that you separate me from the word that you want me to give everyone here, Lord. And I want to use this to motivate. So, Lord, just give me the words and just whatever it is that you want me to do here, Lord, I ask that your will be done here. I ask that you calm my nerves and just allow you to use me for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to go back to verse 5. We've all heard woe is me before. We say that to people normally when there's been a lot of complaining. Well, something's wrong. There's always an issue somewhere. You look at them and say, oh, woe is me. Anybody's wondering where that came from? Here it is. You look at woe is me, and when we talk about woe is me, you think of, well, how bad is everything? How bad people are whining and complaining about the different things that are going on in their life and where they're headed with it. You know, you think about woe is me, it's wild here because when he says woe is me, the Lord showed him something here. The Lord showed him that he's undone. Verse 5 says, Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He realized, woe is me, and how low he was,
Amen.
Because the Lord showed it to him.
Amen.
And sometimes it takes that. Even for the saved guy, even for us, sometimes we can get in and feel real comfortable where we're at. But he's got to give us something. He's got to show us something to remind us who's in control. We might not like it, might not be happy about it, and honestly, it might hurt. But there's a reason for all of it.
Amen.
That's because he's got to show that he's in control.
That's right.
You know, we can go to anybody, and I've caught myself using this kind of expression before with different people that are close to me, whether, you know, as family, but are not saved people. And they're talking about complaining, that, you know, they're complaining about this and that and how this isn't working, that isn't working. I can tell them to pray. But I've actually led a couple people to this verse, woe is me. Because sometimes it takes the woe is me. It takes you to really hit a bottom, to really hit something low,
Amen.
To realize who's in control of all of it.
Amen.
If we move on a little bit, we're going to go to, let's go to 7. Here the seraphim has the live coal. And he says, He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Some people have taken it, and I've actually heard some different religions use this as an explanation of purgatory. They can kind of pervert that a little bit, but that's not the way this works. The way he's saying this here is that, you know, it touched my mouth and lo, that iniquity is taken away and I sin purged. He got burned. He had to get burned to hit a low. So I can see here, and I can go through, and I'm just looking at different faces here. Throughout this year, this church has hit a lot of lows. Yeah. We've all had to be hit a couple times. We got burned. Yeah. You know, it's easy for all of us throughout our life to kind of bounce up and down and to your level of your faith. You know, it's almost like sometimes we don't realize how good we have it, and so if there's a medium here, there's an even space here where we're all supposed to be. Some of us take that burn, and they come down here a little bit. And some of us are living that happy life, and some of us are coming up here a little bit. And sometimes that continues to grow. Sometimes it comes back. But this is what starts causing the divisions in the churches. We all need to be here. We're all a family. We're brothers and sisters, right?
Amen.
So we're all supposed to be even. We're all supposed to be right here. We have the woes and the lows. Everybody has their good days. Everybody has their bad days. These good days need to help these bad days.
Yep.
And these bad days need to remind about these good days.
Amen.
You know, we can sit here and talk about, well, you know what? I got this raise and got this job and that's fantastic and my house is wonderful and look at everything I have. How often do you actually hear that person ever really say, well, thank God?
Amen.
Yeah.
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 All right, you're here.
You know, I can't tell you how many people I've come across knowing where they stand in their faith for the most part. I mean, nobody really understands the full relationship that somebody has with God, but you can tell on the walk. You can see it, at least a little bit of it.
Yeah.
You know, so you see this and you hear it, and you know, they're talking about how great everything is, but that same person, the only time they say thank God is when something bad didn't happen to them, it probably should have.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so I find it funny in a way that when it should have happened, and they're not thanking God that it didn't, or that maybe they're thanking God that it didn't, this person down here has hit that low, but that same low person is also on their knees.
Yeah.
You know, think about that. There's a lot of people here that have been through so much more than any of the others. You guys might have been through a little bit more than a lot of people would ever want to imagine, but you're here. But you're here.
Amen.
You know, on a personal note, I mean, I could have, when the situation happened with my job situation, I could have gotten mad. And I got to be honest, I was upset. I was nervous. Fear started to take over a little bit. Flesh started to play. Well, woe was me, right? You know, it says woe, low, and the next one's go. And that's where I'm headed here. After the low, after you take that hit, and you realize, you know what? I'm not in control. I have to hit that low. I realize who's in control.
Amen.
As soon as you realize in control, normally you're given a mission.
Amen.
And it might not be a big mission. It might be a smaller mission. It might be huge. You have no idea. We're not in control. It's not for us to say.
Amen.
But when it comes down to it, he's going to eventually tell you to go. And then where are you going to stand in your faith for that? It's... When we see this here, it says, woe is me. Then we go to low. Then we go to go. Woe, low, go. I think of it as you hear you see the woe. It's almost like, wow, you know, look at what I actually am. The Lord had to show him what he really was. Then you see the low. You hit that low because you actually realize who you are, what you've done, and who's in control. That humbleness is exactly what the Lord wants to see.
Amen.
Then it's time to go.
Yeah.
You know, so where are you going to take it? You know, I was humbled a little bit just this past week. I can never say his last name. Brother Mike. Bukowski, did I say that right?
Yes.
Is that okay? Okay. Mike B, that guy, all right? He was talking about on Black Friday going to Philly. The first thing went through my mind, I asked him, is he here yet? I don't think he's here. Is he here? Well, I'm going to tell him anyway. But he mentioned that, and I was kind of like, you know, for a Black Friday, that's actually kind of scary. You're going to go into Philly, the heart of Philly, which is kind of known for being a little rough sometimes, and you're going to go and hand out tracts and preach the gospel and witness a little bit. Like, I'm going to pray for you. You know? Have fun, buddy. You know? You're on your. I'll pray all day, I promise. Right after he did that, he came up to me. And he said, you know, he said, brother, did you hear what I was talking about earlier? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to pray for you. You know, he's like, do you want to go? Back of my mind, not really. No. Never. Okay, do I get to wear hockey pads? You know, they did have a hockey game that day in Philly, which made it even scarier because now you got a bunch of drunk hockey players around town and they don't have teeth. There's a reason that they don't have teeth. So, you know, it's, you know, I'm not trying to play that game, you know. I'll stick to, you know, we're good. But I was like, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I'm not sure. I said, I'll tell you what, it's Sunday. Talk to me Wednesday. I'll see what's going on. I'll see what the plan is, and we'll see what happens. I walked in here, and that was the first thing he said to me. And I had thought about it. And I thought about, you know, the whole time I was saying no, it was, you know, I don't want to do this. I'm afraid of this. I'm not sure how I could handle this. Right. Who am I?
Amen.
Good. You know, so he was so persistent on me that he convicted me.
Amen.
I hit a low. I had to hit a little bit of a low. So I was like, you know what? I asked Jonah, I said, you know, is that okay? I know your family's doing something that evening. I said, we're going to go in the morning. We'll be back, you know. Absolutely. Kind of hoping she talked me out of it. Okay, so we went. In about 2.5 hours, we handed out over 300 tracts.
Amen.
And we got a chance to talk to some people. One guy, I'll remember his face. I'll probably end up seeing him again. It sounds like we're going to go back. But we walked through. And it was this homeless guy was sitting on the corner. And while we were handing out these tracts, this homeless guy stood up to this family and looked at him and said, uh-uh, they're Christians, and walked off. It's like, wow, a homeless guy, okay? Now, you can make your own little assumptions as to your definition of homeless, but he's sitting there with a cart, and he does, you know, whatever's in his cart is his possession. And he asked us for money. We gave him a bottle of water and a track. You know, that's all we had to give him. But we tried to talk to him a little bit, and he ended up, you know, cussing, ranting, raving, and took off. And the next thing we know, he followed us down the street and told us, that family, not to talk to us. The point I'm getting at is when he says go, go might take you to another low. He might have to hit you again with something. You know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and as soon as we realize that we're not getting anywhere, if you realize that as soon as everything's all peachy, everything's all happy, everything's all good, and you don't have any worries, well, then you're not doing something.
Amen.
You know, if everything's all happy and fine in your life in this world, then something's missing, okay? The reason why they call us Christian soldiers, right? Because we're supposed to fight. You know, if we're not fighting, if we're not protecting, if we're not defending, what are we doing?
That's right.
We're wasting our time.
Fighting one another.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and that goes right back to what I was saying at the beginning. It's this whole vicious circle. We're all supposed to be here. You know, if we're not here fighting together, then we're either completely way out here, or we're up here or down here, or we just look stupid flying our hands around. You know, so it's just... What I'm getting at here is that, you know, when I first looked at this, one of the first times I ever read it, I read it as a new Christian. And it looked to me like a path of salvation. You know, wow, okay, you know, it took the Lord to show him what he really was, what he truly was, okay? He found salvation. We can only assume. We go from there to a low, okay? Well, he realizes what he is, but, you know, he doesn't know everything. And none of us are ever going to know everything that the Lord has planned. But when we hit that low's for a reason. You know, one of the lows that I mean, and we all go back on sometimes, and I know it's still kind of fresh for all of us, I think, but, you know, it was a low for us, but it wasn't a low for George.
Yeah. Yep.
His was a go.
Yep.
He did his, you know. It was a low for us because we're going to miss him. But at the same time, we can think of it as a go.
Amen.
Because if we can do even part of what he did for this church, if we can do even part of what he did for our teens, with our teens, and with the youth of this church, if we can use his testimony for anything when it comes to the Lord,
amen,
then we took that low and made it a go.
Amen.
You know, you can sit here and you know, well, I'm going to get laid off. I'm not going to have a job for a while. Good. Got more time to read.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary to think about.
Yeah.
It's scary to think about.
Amen.
But, you know, it's true. You got more time to read. You know, for others, it might be, well, now I got more time to sit and wallow and pity myself and woe is me.
Yep.
You know, but no, we're soldiers.
Amen.
We're soldiers, you know. I go back to Philly a little bit, and anybody that, I mean, I'm not going to say anybody, but I'll say most guys understand Rocky, right? Rocky Balboa, right? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it. All right. You guys can sing it. That's fine. I'll start running. No. But no, it's before I ever read my Bible and before I, you know, I really started to understand anything that I was reading, there were some pretty motivational quotes in those movies, you know? And they motivate you, and it's exciting. You know, a humbling factor, though? Sylvester Stallone got saved.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Hey. So now he's a soldier.
Amen.
Now he's going to work.
Yeah.
You know? But that's the thing. Like, you know, it's easy for all of us to kind of step out and we'll glorify this guy, we'll glorify that guy. But what are these guys? You know what I mean?
Amen.
They're just people.
Amen.
They're just people.
Amen.
You know, if anything, a lot of people, and I actually have some family members that have said and done this, that when the articles come out about different stars or what have you finding Christ, well, they stop even more watching the movies. They stop talking about them. They stop really even following them in any way. Maybe now's the time to at least look at them. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that you need to watch them, that you need to idolize them, because that's not what this is about. We watch them because we can pray for them now. We can all pray for all of them. But you know, now the time is going to get tough for them. You know? Same thing for any of us. Just like these stars, they'll go out and they'll get saved, whatnot, what have you, and they'll disappear. You'll never hear from them again. Why? Because the news doesn't want you to hear about that.
Amen.
Yeah. What do you think happens to us? We can sit out here and we can try to make our moves forward and try to do it for God. How many of us that are besides who's in this church and besides who's in like-minded churches are really going to support us in that?
Amen.
You know, I've been praying off and on for years, and I say off and on only because my flesh has gotten in the way a couple times, for a lot of members of family. And flesh got in the way because I would get mad. I'd get angry, you know, because it's easy when the Lord tells you to go and to do something, or go to a family member, or to go to a friend of yours in school, or to go to somebody that you really care about, and you want them to know the truth, and they'll all but spit in your face. You know, that hurts. But I'm going to tell you now, there are plenty of people that are sitting in this church right now that prayed for me before I got saved.
Amen.
And I all but spit in their face.
Yeah.
I'm standing up here.
That's right.
You know,
miracle,
it's unreal.
Amen.
Miracle's the truth. That's
Amen.
That's for real.
Amen.
You know, I would have, if you'd have came to me, I mean, I got saved in August 2006, but I would say even probably up to 2008, 2009. If you would have told me that I'd have been standing here, I would thought you were nuts. And if anybody ever asked me what church to go to at that time, I probably wouldn't have said, don't come here, they'll scare you away. I mean, I'm just being honest, you know, because I was afraid of it. But you know what I was afraid of? When this place gets going and the Spirit's here, I had never felt anything like that in my life. You know, we were talking about that video this morning. Well, with people, you know, throwing this. I still watch that video. I'm sorry. So I still see Rogue on in there. It cracks me up. But, you know, people look at that and are like, they're crazy. I would never step foot in there. Back at the time, I might have been like, you know, yeah, I probably wouldn't either. But I can tell you now, you should feel a little bit of that. Amen. You should feel a little bit of that. Because it's nuts.
Yeah.
In a good way, it's nuts. You know, don't worry, nobody will hurt you, you know. But what it's funny because when you see all that, at the time, I mean, I listened to rock music and I would go to concerts and stuff. And I'd go to, like, I would take a group of us to go and they'd go and listen to this heavy stuff and be mosh pitting and stuff. And we'd come out of there, bump bruises, covered in blood, and it's ridiculous. But we're nuts for coming to church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, it's unreal. And the sad part is, I still remember times we'd go to these different things and these people would be there handing out tracts at these concerts. They'd be handing out tracts and they'd be trying to witness to us. And I was never disrespectful, but some of my friends, it's unbelievable some of the stuff they're coming out. Like, I was almost afraid for them and I didn't even completely understand what was going on. But I was afraid for them for what they were saying to these people who were just trying to be Christian. They were just trying to do what the Lord told them to go and do.
Amen.
You know, it's, I look at, now I look at the teens. I look at the youth, I look at the teens over here. You guys took a low with that car. But I'm going to tell you now, that's not part of your testimony. That's a go. Amen. You're in school now. And you come in here every time. You come in here every week and you pray for your school. And you pray for people to get saved in your school. Amen for that.
Amen.
Amen. Because I'm telling you now, you're a select majority. You might be some of the only ones in the state, probably some of the only few in the country.
Amen. That's right.
But you had to hit that low. Because even though you guys are solid Christians, you've been praying the whole time, it told you something, didn't it?
Amen.
It told you something. We all need to be told something every now and then. You know, when we started really praying about whether or not I was called to preach, I wasn't sure how to take it. I was scared of it. And I think naturally so. It's humbling to be up here. It's nerve-wracking. Thank the Lord I'm finally calming down since when I first walked up here. But it's nerve-wracking. Like Ken said when he came up here, you know, it's different every time you come up here. You know. People come up here, and the first time they've ever come up here, they're standing up here and they're singing, or, you know, they want to give a testimony, or even as small as happy birthday up here. It's nerve-wracking because this is a go.
Amen.
Amen.
This is a go. You know, so in the end, I don't know how much time you want me to take, but I'm sitting here wondering as I look through, I'm seeing different faces. And some people are kind of like, if I could read your face, I think you're asking what you're being asked to do. You know, which is a good question. You know, how many times have I come to you, Pastor, or, you know, some of you guys in the church, and I say, you know, the Lord wants something more from me. But I don't know what it is. I'm asking you to pray for me. You know, I know he wants something, and it's a little nerve-wracking. I just don't know where to take it. You know, I just lost this job, and I have a family to take care of, and I'm worried, and I don't know where to go, and I need you to pray for me. That was my low. I thank you guys for praying for me.
Amen.
Because I'm almost set up into the new job, and I can tell you now the Lord's been taking care of us.
Amen.
You know, we haven't had any kind of financial issue, any kind of mental struggle, other than being tired when he wakes up in the middle of the night because his teeth hurt. You know, hey, amen, right? But that woe, low, and go is for real.
Amen, bro.
You know,
it is.
We go back, I mean, if you're looking at Isaiah, we know this is Old Testament. He's talking about, you know, how they took, it was live coal from the altar. Sacrifice. Right? You connect that together, sacrifice. What are we willing to sacrifice for the go?
Amen.
You know, even a year ago, I would have said, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to sacrifice. Because at the time, everything looked peachy. You know, we had just moved into a house. You guys know some of our story. We just moved into the house that we had got our pre-approval on. It was right down to the penny how much it was. The week we moved in, we realized that Joan was pregnant with a baby that we were told by four doctors we couldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, the whole pregnancy was fantastic. My wife's sitting back there. She had a chance three different times to leave this earth, and she's still here.
Amen.
You know? So when you talk about everything, you know, it's easy to look at that stuff, and yeah, it's miracles. Amen. Thank God for all that. But I tell you, there's other things we're going to have to taste, too.
Amen.
You know, I sit here and look at, you know, I can't help but to look at the guys down here. You know, they're sitting up here. They've been called to preach, and they're going through public school, and that's a battle on its own.
That's right. Amen.
You know, everything is good. Everything's been good. But you had to hit a little bit of a low, didn't you? You know? Every now and then is going to be that little bit of a low. We all have hit that low. If anybody's seen any taste of any kind of low, you've been there, you felt it, you tasted it, you know? And depending on how low it was, the taste might have tasted like blood. But you know what? That low took you to a knee. Whether it was physical because it hurt, or whether it was because you needed God. You took a knee, didn't you? And the only reason why I can say I know you for a fact, you took, bless you. The only reason why I can say for a fact, you took a knee is because you're here.
Amen.
It's because you're here.
Yeah. That's
good. Amen. So in the end, I think my question would be, if you've been asking the Lord, what's next for you? If you've been asking for direction, guidance, if you've been asking for anything like that, if you've been asking for how to handle a family member, if you've been asking for how to deal with a loss of someone, a loss of something, any kind of pain, if you've been asking for it, have you been listening? Because after a low, there's always the go.
Amen.
There is a commission for you.
Amen.
So what's your commission? You know, I sit here, we go through, I think, a Ron. I think a Squig. I mean, I can go through Joe, this whole front row. That rhymed. You know, I can sit here and go through and see these men of God. But I can sit here and go through, and I'm not going to spill all your personal stuff, but I know some of what you've had to deal with. You know, maybe a little taste. And anybody that doesn't understand what it's like to be the Christian soldier would ask you why you're here tonight. Would ask you why you go on Wednesday in the middle of the week. You know. They would ask you, you know, what makes you keep going back?
Yeah.
You've been through this. You've been through that. You know, where's your God? I've heard that one. Tell you what, nothing gets under my skin more now.
Yeah.
You know, but
Amen.
People ask, you know, you're going through all this stuff. You know, when I lost my job, I heard it three different times from three different people. Where's your God? Thought everything was good for you. It is.
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
You know? It's easy to say, you know, all this stuff happened, woe is me. All this stuff is going on, everything's so miserable, woe is me. Think about the good stuff. Because it could be a whole lot worse. You know, it could be a whole lot worse. You know, we have two guys here that may not have made it if it got worse. You know, there are plenty of people in this church right now after what they've been through. Had it been just an inch worse, if it had any less faith in God, wouldn't be here tonight. It could have been worse. It could always be worse. You got to thank him for his mercy. And thank him for the commission. That's what I got, so. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for the chance to be able to stand here in front of everybody, Lord, and just give them your word, Lord. This laid on me, it's been laying on me the past week or so, I just thank you for the opportunity to be able to come up here humbly and just give people your word, Lord. I ask that it continues to bless others the way it's blessed me. And I ask that if people are in here that are working on other people that are having hard times, Lord, that, you know, if this verse will help, if this explanation helps at all, Lord, I ask that you continue to touch it, that you continue to guide it along and just help it to help others, Lord. And if there's anybody in here that needs anything else, Lord, just, you know, I pray that they understand they need to come to you, Lord, and just I ask if there's anyone here that is not saved, Lord, just continue to show them that they need you. You know, sometimes it's hard to pray for your direction because sometimes it can be scary. Lord, we just thank you for it, even though it might be a bit scary, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen.